Welcome to the Got Your Six podcast. This podcast brings together current service members and veteran high performers to share their methods, strategies, and ideas delivered in an informative and, most importantly, actionable way that'll help you lead yourself and those around you from the battlefield to the boardroom. Coming to you every episode, I'm your host, Tony Nash, and into the breach.
Nothing mentioned on this podcast is an endorsement or opinion of the Department of Defense.
I got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. I got your six.
Sixers, unbelievable treat today. Austin Von Lechemann is our guest. I know you've heard of him. I know you've seen him, but he's always about mandatory fun. Austin, thank you so much for coming on the Got Your Six podcast, my man.
Hey, man, I really appreciate you having me on. And I appreciate the content shout out too. It's great.
So you've been in a while. I know you're kind of, we won't say starting over again, but at a different point in your leadership journey, because you came in enlisted, right? And now you're essentially on the Mustang track. As you've kind of gone through that, how did you bring your understanding, your observation, and leveraging that through your content, more or less?
Well, you know, it's funny. So not that long ago, I actually looked back on my original content. If you go to my TikTok and you scroll, I've got over 1,200 videos on there now. So I've got a lot of stuff. But I scrolled all the way back to the very beginning. It hasn't been very long that I've been making content, but I feel like I've gone through a couple evolutions through the process. But yeah, so I scrolled back. It took me 26 videos before any of my videos did anything, right? And I think the first video that I had, it got like 35,000 views, which is pretty solid. Honestly, I'm still pretty happy when a video gets 35,000. I like seeing, obviously, the videos go viral. But, you know, it was army content. I originally started making like parenting content, fitness content, and I'm kind of branching out into that too, especially on Instagram. And so the fitness content is, I thought for sure that would be, you know, my ticket as far as content creation goes. But the army stuff is what hit. And really, I think it's my level of empathy. I truly try and lead hard with empathy. And me being able to empathize with people and vocalize and verbalize situations that we all find ourselves in that none of us like, that's what sticks with people. That's people. And I'm playing on people's emotions, you know, I'm playing on people's frustrations and they love it. They love it.
Where does that come from in understanding that level of empathy to kind of help relate and, you know, carry a conversation when it's hard to have those conversations, especially around some of the topics and content of what we do on a day-to-day basis?
I really think back. So I've been in the Army since 2012. I went to Fort Hood first. I was at Fort Lewis next. And then I got stationed at Fort Sill and I'm back in Texas. I won't say which one specifically because some of my leaders that I had at this organization are probably still in the military. But during one of those times, it was a very dark time in my life. And I saw a lot of kind of the worst that leadership has to offer. A lot of my content comes from me thinking back on that dude who was literally a scared specialist and thinking, I can vocalize these frustrations now and I can make other people feel heard. And that's what it's been. You know, I get comments all the time. I get messages on Instagram. People send me emails saying like, hey, what you're doing really helps me out. It makes me feel like I'm not crazy because you're bringing up the frustrations that we all have. And so that feels really good. I hope that answers that question, though.
No, it does. And then it also has to be somewhat cathartic.
Very, yep.
Almost to an extent, like rejuvenating, because you're able to kind of tap into a spot, like you were saying, that is dark in your life, and you're making something of that. So you're helping other people at the same point.
Yeah, very cathartic. I love that you say that. You know, and it's really cool because you know as well as I do, the higher you go in rank, certain things don't make sense still, but a lot of stuff becomes more clear and a lot of stuff starts to make sense. Policy that you were like, why is this like this? You make sergeant, you make staff sergeant, you become an officer and you're on a battalion staff. And now you're like, oh, wow, okay, I guess that does make sense. You know, some things I still don't agree with, some things still don't make sense, but you get what I'm saying. And so being able to give, especially young troops, a look behind the curtain a little bit, because, you know, I make a lot of videos and they're like, yeah, man, this all sucks and it's dumb. And sometimes I get to pump the brakes a little bit and I get to say, look, guys, you know, I poke fun at these policies, but some of these policies do have a place. My favorite example is the toaster video, right? I was like, hey, you know, please go work on this $10 million tank, but you cannot have a toaster in your room. Well, the problem is if you give 100 troops a toaster and put them in a barracks room, one of them will burn down the barracks. You know what I mean? And explaining that to people and seeing the light bulb turn on for them is very rewarding.
It has to be, right? Because you're also kind of pushing people's beliefs and understanding of the situation. And I know you're a massive fan of like getting out of a comfort zone, because through comedy and through the humor that you create and you transcend through your videos, you're able to really challenge those long heard beliefs. Have people kind of come back to you and said like, oh man, you've kind of really changed how I've approached this situation. You've kind of alluded to that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I have people, I've had many people in the comments specifically that have said, you know, I've never thought of it like that. And then what's cool is when I have other leaders who are in the military and they come onto the comments too, and they're like, hey man, you guys need to listen to this guy because what he's saying is going to save you a lot of frustration, a lot of heartache. And gosh, there's so many reasons why I do. I'm almost speaking to my past self. You know, I was angry. I was angry as a lower enlisted soldier and even as an E5. As a staff sergeant, I started to mature a little bit. I stopped, you know, thinking too much of myself, probably humbled myself a little bit. And so things got easier. But I truly am. I'm speaking to my old self. You know, everything's going to be okay. You don't need to die on every hill kind of thing. You know what I mean?
And that allows for a clear conversation to be had, because you have, and I love that you opened up with empathy, because you have so much empathy for yourself. I think a lot of us talk when we're like, oh, I botched this. I messed this up. I did all these things. We talk so terribly to ourselves. If we were to talk to another person like that, no one would even look at us. They would think that we're absolutely like off the wall and you shouldn't be a leader. But it's really interesting when you pull back. How have you kind of allowed yourself to be empathetic to your past frustrations, misgivings outside of comedy?
Well, I've done a lot of work. I mean, I've done a lot of work in counseling. You know, I am a huge, massive advocate for counseling. And for anybody in the military currently, Military One Source, great resource. Your local EBH, great resource. Use it. Even if you're not currently going through something, a counselor can help you make breakthroughs in yourself personally, can help reframe the way you see things. Probably the most powerful thing a counselor gave me. I came into a counselor a couple years ago. I was pissed, super pissed, right? At my boss. My boss had done something. And I told my counselor, I said, my boss did this thing because of this. And they said, whoa, you can't say that. You can't read minds. This is literally how the conversation went. They said, you don't know why your boss did that. Did you ask? And I said, no, of course I didn't ask. And they're like, yeah, you didn't ask because you're pissed. And I said, and so now I think about that, man. You cannot attribute thought or emotion to another person's actions. You have to ask them. You know, you can't just say, well, you know, Tony Nash did X because of X. Only you know what you did and for the reason you did it, you know? And so that was really powerful.
Yeah. And you're also providing like action when you talk about, and you kind of like pull back. It's like, right, to write clearly, you have to write a lot, right? You can't just, it's not the first draft that gets sent out. You're like, what is it? Mark Twain, Winston Churchill, all say like, I would have written a shorter letter if I had more time. And you think, and you're like, wait, what? And you look at that and it's like, the key you use the most on the keyboard is the delete key. Cause you're trying to refine this idea. How do you go through idea generation as you create content?
Man, that is such a good question. Very few people ask me this question. So a lot of my content ideas come from the comments now. If I'm really stumped, I keep somewhere between 20 and 30 videos queued up. And then I've had as many as 100 before. If I have that many, a lot of them aren't super great. And I end up deleting a bunch of them. But I keep a bunch of videos queued up, but how I create content, it literally, a lot of times I will just, an idea will pop in my head. Right before I got on here, I made a video that I'm going to drop sometime in the next week about toilet guards, how Sergeant Major comes in and he's like, man, somebody's blowing up the toilets. You know what? You got it. We're putting a guard on the toilets now. And so, and it just popped into my head. I don't know why, but you know, my brain, I guess, kind of just works like that. It's the one benefit of ADHD.
Do you keep like a running notes of content of like, hey, this is kind of the idea. This is how I want to structure what does that look like?
Yeah. So if somebody sends me an idea, I will screenshot it. And I have a folder in my phone that I keep those. And there's anywhere from 30 to 60 screenshots in there at any given time. And so if I'm stumped and I cannot think of content, I'll pull a couple ideas from that. But I mean, you know, you're a content creator. You know, it's hard sometimes. It's really hard. I mean, I imagine it's harder for you because you got to find another person. I'm literally talking to myself in those videos. But finding ways to make the same little snippet into multiple videos, finding different styles, different ways to deliver it has been fun. It's been interesting. And it's given me some of my best material, I think. You know, like the Veteran Tim skits, people love those. And that was me experimenting with new content.
That's kind of where I was going to next is the character development, right? Because you're creating these arcs over time, right? Because it's not just Tim, right? It's this whole series and situation. And as you explore that character and that ecosystem, right, you have to pull in more of the surroundings to develop. Did you ever do anything with character development, or is it just as you feel and see different capacities to expand, you just kind of pull those in?
You know, I don't have it like written anywhere. You know, I don't have like, there's no end to the story or like, there's no real, it's not very deliberate. You know, we're seeing the adventures of Tim as they happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really enjoy writing. You know, for a while I wrote poetry. I've always been an avid reader of both fiction and nonfiction. I'm currently reading a book called The 100-Year Marathon. Really great book. You know, it's on China and a lot of the stuff that they're doing. But I try and hit on topics that I'm passionate about. Mental health is something I'm tremendously passionate about. And you'll see that in my content from time to time. I'm using the Veteran Tim skits to talk about that kind of stuff. And it's cool to see people in the comments saying, wow, this is, you know, basically thanks. You know, I'm vocalizing something that helps them out.
To go back to what you said, you're seeing the same thing 1,000 different ways.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to create different mediums to make it approachable, because it still is hard to talk about mental health and frustrations and all these like misgivings and, you know, this feelings and emotions are very hard because they're personal, right? As you said, like, you don't know what people are going through.
You have to be vulnerable.
But you present the content in a way where it allows people to be vulnerable because it's so to the point and so relatable, because they're transcendent, whether you're in a light unit, a heavy unit, infantry, AG, it doesn't matter, because those situations just constantly happen given the lifestyle that we currently live. And speaking of that, though, is you've also started to pull in a more leadership content. How has that evolved in your current position?
Yo, that's a great question, because, you know, I am sure at some point I'm going to make a video and 10 years from now, I'm going to look back on it and be like, man, why'd I do that? You know what I mean? Like, I understand that I don't know everything, I guess is how I should say that. And, you know, my views are going to change over time. I am not the same person I was when I joined the military. And thankfully for everybody. But 10 years from now, I'm not going to be the same person I am now. And so the leadership content, it comes from things that I'm passionate about. It comes from, you know, injustices that I feel I see at times. But realistically, I want everybody to know, I'm not trying to disparage anybody specifically with my content. Really, what I want to do is bring levity to some things that are very serious to some people. To a private, the petty things that we think about as just kind of whatever, they deal with it day in and day out. 12, 24, 100 petty things to a private, that's not petty anymore. You know what I mean? And I think that is something that we as leaders need to remember. You know, because we can forget, especially as officers, we're kind of shielded from a lot of that. We have our own issues. We have our own issues. But, you know, the formation changing 82 times to a private, that's really frustrating when it happens every single week.
And being able to understand that level of humility, too, you continue to bring it front of mind. So you're constantly thinking through your decision when you're going through your personal decision making. You're like, wait a second. If I were to do X, that's going to lead to all these other secondary and tertiary effects. Have you seen, because you're revisiting a lot of this stuff, decisions being changed because you're bringing more humility and more gratitude to those experiences of what we call injustice?
Do you mean in other units?
Just in general, right? Like as you go forward, because you're constantly thinking back to, hey, I remember what it was like to be in this position, because you're in a unique, you had a unique journey where you've gone mm-hmm. through the ranks, literally climbing from the bottom to where you are now. You have to look back at stuff, as we've talked about, and now think differently as you go to make decisions.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, I kind of my new mantra of leadership, kind of how I characterize my leadership now, is lead to the standard and lead with empathy, and you will rarely lead wrong. You know, that's something that I'm going to keep at kind of at the forefront of my mind. We have a standard, you know, in the military. We have to abide by the standard, regardless of whether we agree with it or not. But if we apply the standard and we apply empathy, we think about, hey, how is this going to affect people? I'm not saying you need to make a different decision. You very well may make the same decision, but I think the decision will be better. And communication, man, we are terrible about communication. Everybody, me, I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to everybody. So much frustration for especially lower enlisted soldiers comes from them not understanding why they're doing something. And that is literally just a failure to communicate. You know, that's something I try and think about too. I try and over communicate. You know, I do it with my supervisors until they tell me not to, but I really do it with my soldiers because that's what I want. That's what I wanted that I didn't know that I wanted as a soldier or as a younger soldier.
And that's interesting because as you go through like your leadership experience, and I'm still learning every day, you're learning to kind of ask more than you tell because you're really seeking out those individuals and those people. And it's like, this is kind of what I'm thinking. Is this where you want to go or do you understand? Do you do a similar thing or like, what does that conversation look like to help relay that communication so people know they can come to you if there's a gap?
Well, I mean, the first thing, so I try and be as approachable as possible. I can for sure be the stereotypical NCO that raises voice all the time, stuff like that, but it's just not my style. It's not what I like to do. I try and be as approachable as possible. If people come to me with problems, I always, every single time I say the same thing. Hey, I'm here if you need to talk. I'm also here if you just tell me you need something. And, you know, recently I had a service member who is dealing with some issues. And this person came to me and I said, you know, if you need to talk, I'm here, but I think it would be good if you just took a couple hours to yourself right now. And, you know, I don't know how much that meant to that person. You know, it may have meant a little, it may have meant a lot, but that's how I like to be. That person now, you know, I think probably feels more comfortable coming to me with things in the future. And then I also try and communicate to when I have troops and I don't have anybody that I'm counseling, but I try and communicate to them that they can give me feedback when I am not giving them something that they need. As a staff sergeant, the last time I did it, I was at a warfighter at Fort Hood, and I was standing around a map with one of my soldiers, and I told this soldier, and I'm trying to keep gender and everything out of it just so they can remain anonymous.
Yeah.
But I told them, I said, hey, is there anything I'm not doing? Like, is there something you want me to be doing more? And this person told me, I don't really like how you teach. And I was like, man, that's huge. You know, if you're not liking how, and I asked, do you not like how I teach or am I not giving you what you need? And they said, well, yeah, that's why I don't like it, because you're not giving me what I need. I altered the way that I was coaching them and they loved it. They loved it. They were able to accomplish the tasks that I needed them to accomplish better. It was just overall better for everybody. And I could have been offended by them saying that, you know what I mean? But I just chose not to be, you know, and, you know, because at first I was like, dang, man, you know, I've been doing this for a little while. I don't think I'm bad at it, but they weren't saying I was bad at it. They were just saying I was not communicating effectively to them.
That also goes into like from the professional realm to the personal realm, like just by asking other people what they're looking for, expectations mm-hmm. and understanding that across the board is massive. As you talked about, is that really something over the last number of years that has really helped shape to where you are now and improved your life? that leading more with empathy and relating to other people? Or is there something else you would say?
Oh, absolutely. First off, when you're leading well, whatever that looks like to you, everybody's happy. And when everybody's happy, the room's just light. You know, people are getting things done. People feel like they can make mistakes and they can learn. Now, obviously, there's mistakes that we can't make. You know, we can't do irreparable damage to property and we can't, you know, life, limb, and eyesight, stuff like that. But man, if somebody uses the wrong font on a PowerPoint slide, it's not worth screaming at them about.
How you doing? Keep it moving. Absolutely.
like just tell them, man, like, hey, we got to use Arial, not Calibri, and move on. You know what I mean? Like, things lose value when we are constantly at level 10 all the time. And that's old school Army. You know, old school Army, Private Vaughn was terrified all the time. And I just don't feel that that's an effective, conducive, healthy work environment. My mentor told me, and it's the most powerful statement he's ever told me. He's a Fulbright colonel. And he said, everybody deserves to have a place that they enjoy coming to work. They deserve it. He didn't say they should have it. He said they deserve it. And so I really do think about that often when I'm interacting with people, when I'm going about my business during the day. You know, I try and stay upbeat. I try and stay positive because it bleeds off onto other people.
When you find yourself maybe not so positive and in a place where things aren't great, how do you kind of pull yourself back, at least personally?
You know, I'm still not perfect at it. You know,
none of us are. Yeah.
Last week was a stressful week for me. But a lot of times I'll try and separate myself from the situation. I will literally physically go somewhere else. I have, you know, pictures of my phone of my kids and my wife that I'll look at. When I separate myself, I'll try and remember the times that were worse that I've had, you know, as a way to just, you know, keep it in perspective. And then I also have a couple of tips that counselors have given me, some grounding techniques, stuff like that, that I can use too when it is really just a lot. And so I guess it's a combination of things, but probably the biggest thing is separating yourself from the environment in that moment. And then, you know, a piece of advice that I have for people too, learn how to deal with conflict in the workplace and don't be afraid to tell people like, hey, I really don't like how this is going right now. I don't feel comfortable with this. And kind of learn how to tactfully pump the brakes on things, you know, when you need to.
Every time you say that isn't always going to be necessarily received the greatest, but you have to continue to own that and say, you know what, I'm going to try this way. And if it doesn't work, back to the drawing board, you know, make a couple notes and go forward. And speaking in that sense, right, like it's not always you win or learn, not win or fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where have you had a really tough learning experience that ultimately led to a great success, either personally or professionally?
Oh, man. So when I got to Fort Sill, I shouldn't have gotten stationed at Fort Sill because I was on profile at the time and the order said you need to be not on profile. And so I fought so hard not to go to Fort Sill. But it ended up being the greatest blessing I've ever received in my life. I got to Fort Sill. I was an S2 and CYC at a battalion. And I was effectively a brand new E5 at the time. I get there and I'm like, man, this is going to be cush. This is a logistics battalion. They don't do intel. And I get there and the OIC says, I am retiring in 2 months. You're the guy. And I'm like, ah, crap. And so I also had a commander who is my mentor now, the same guy that I talked about earlier. And he expected the same level out of me that he would have gotten out of a captain. And he wasn't toxic about it. He wasn't bad about it at all. And he very much personally coached me and mentored me to success. But he pushed me. He pushed me really hard. And so that was probably the hardest constructive time that I ever had in the Army. Something that, you know, very much in a positive way made me who I am today. Definitely just in general, hardest time I had was probably at Fort Lewis. I was just gone all the time. It was a lot of late nights at work. And it was very hard on me and my family. But those are the times that I think about now when I'm getting off at a reasonable time every day. I am getting, you know, a full lunch. I'm not having to work through lunch most days. And I had leaders that, you know, weren't always the kindest. And so that's the time that I think back on now when I want to bring myself back to reality. Like, hey, things aren't too bad right now.
How are you better today than yesterday?
How I am better today than yesterday is I have a level of humility today, a level of humbleness that I didn't have as a young soldier and especially as a Sergeant E5. I thought I had all the answers. I now know that I have very few answers. Now, my experience is something that I draw on tremendously, and it's something that I'm going to continue to draw on. You know, somebody who's been in the service over 10 years, they know a lot because they've experienced a lot. It's not necessarily because they're smarter. And so I would say it's kind of funny that as I've grown in experience and as I've grown in capability to solve problems, I've also become more humble. So I would tell like young troops that don't think that you are the guy. You know, you should always be learning. You should always be trying to improve yourself and be humble. You know, it looks better and it just is better.
How were you humbled recently?
I mean, as a butter bar, you just get humbled, you know, on a daily basis. but really, how I've been humbled recently is how many new things I've encountered as a brand new officer, where I'm blown away. Because I thought for sure, I was like, man, I'm going into the officer field or the officer side of the house with 9.5 years in. And God bless. It's just been one thing after another. You know, I got my Army officer guide, you know, the thick red book. It looks like a phone book. I got that. I was reading through that.
That's right over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure you have one. But yeah, reading through that, seeing certain things in there, I was like, gosh, all the things that like officers do make sense now because of this book.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. Learning the culture, learning there's certain things that you can and can't say or should and shouldn't say as an officer versus enlisted, that kind of stuff. So I'd say that's how I've been humbled is, you know, being a brand new officer and realizing how little I knew, how much I had to learn is a huge way I've been humbled.
No, and it's a beautiful thing too, because you've gone from like essentially the author of the book, Life According to Austin, to being the librarian where you're pulling from all these different resources and understanding your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Great metaphor.
Real recognizes real. Thank you. Austin, where can people learn more about you? Where can they go to continue to see where Mandatory Fun is day in and day out?
The best places is Instagram and TikTok, Mandatory Fun Day, all one word. That's the absolute best. And please, guys, for those of you watching this, if you follow me or you don't follow me, you're going to follow me. I love it. I love it when you guys send me messages, send me emails, comment stuff, comment the content that you want to see. I'm here for the military community. That's who I make content for. And so your suggestions are so helpful to me and really it helps me feel like I'm giving back to the community.
And you absolutely are giving back, and we're very grateful for not only you sharing your strategies, your methods, and your tactics today, but most importantly, Austin, thanks for having our six. Appreciate it, brother.
I appreciate it. Have a good one, brother.
Sixers, Bruce Lee said, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." I hear that and I think of the team over at Bridgebuilt. I own a Phoenix squat rack, and it is the absolute ultimate piece of gym equipment that I have at the house. Heavy-duty construction, versatile design, and the ability to fold up for limited space. Not to the wall, not to the floor. You just fold it up on wheels, move it wherever it needs to go. Head over to bridgebuilt.com and upgrade your gym today to the Phoenix squat rack. Hey Sixers, did you know the Got Your Six podcast is now streaming every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern on Wreaths Across America Radio, available on the iHeartRadio app, the Audacity app, and the TuneIn app. Just search the word Wreath. If you got something out of this, be a battle buddy. Share with a friend, pass it along. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and give us as many stars as you think we warrant, because we love what we do here at the Got Your Six podcast. We're always adapting and evolving this podcast because of you, the Sixers. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit that follow button. You'll never miss an episode when we drop new ones every Monday.
I don't know what you've been told, Sixers, but the lawyers would like us to remind you that the views, opinions, and comments expressed on the Got Your Six podcast are solely those of the hosts or guests, to include current and previous Department of Defense employees, and should in no way be considered the opinions of or endorsements on behalf of the Department of Defense or any of its components, divisions, contractors, or other current and previous staff members.